Hello, dear friends. Welcome to another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus, the most controversial man in all of the world. From his humble birth in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago to this very day, controversy has swirled around this man. And the most controversial book in all of the world is still the Bible. Spurgeon, the great preacher of past days, was asked by a journalist, "How can an intelligent man like you believe in the devil?" He answered, "If you don't believe he exists, just try opposing him sometime." I can certainly amen that. If you're a Christian listening to this broadcast, we would solicit your prayers that God would use this broadcast not only to be a blessing to fellow believers and as we exhort one another daily, but also to reach people who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We really appreciate being able to minister here on WMAF. And there may be someone listening to this station today that's listening to the great music format here, both gospel and just good old country music, classic music, that still has a melody in it. Hallelujah. We're glad you listened to this station, and it may have not been your intent to listen to preaching. We pray that you will stay tuned for a little while as we bring you a message from the Word of God. You need to stop and think about it sometime. Why all of the controversy? Why all of the violent reaction in many circles to a gospel that declares that God loved the world enough to give His Son, and that Christ loved us enough to go to the cross and offer Himself a sacrifice for our sins? What a wonderful message of love, and what a wonderful message of freedom and deliverance the gospel is. And yet it seems to bring such violent reactions. For over 2,000 years, this man has been under attack, and this book, the Bible that declares him, has been under attack. Why do you think that is? Could it be that it is true, and that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, that He is the Son of God, that He did indeed raise from the dead? I'll tell you, every time the gospel is preached, spiritual warfare is waged. I come to the pulpit as I come to this microphone, well aware that we are engaged in a fierce battle for the souls of men and women. And I'm so happy today to declare unto you that God has won this battle. And the ultimate deciding factor is no longer who is the strongest and who is the mightiest. It simply is who will decide to put their trust in Him. And I pray today that there will be people listening to this broadcast that will not be just mentally convinced and give mental assent that the gospel is true and receive Christ, but down in your heart, that as you open it to the Lord, as an honest seeker of truth, that the Holy Spirit will make this truth come alive in you. Hallelujah. If someone out there is truly saved today listening to this broadcast, you know what that's all about. You might have heard it all your life. You may have been yanked up and dragged to church by your mama and your daddy, but a day came when a light came on in your life and you knew that Jesus was real and the gospel was true, and you accepted Him as your Lord and personal Savior. So we are like the preachers of old, come to you today to bring the gospel to you, not in and of ourselves, but with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, as the Scripture declares. We believe the Holy Spirit works is so actively and mightily when the gospel is preached, but we also believe the gospel is opposed so violently because of spiritual opposition. So we pray that you as Christians that hear this broadcast would pray with us that God would send it wherever He wants it to go, and that the target would be the hearts of men and women, not just the heads, and that God would do a work through this ministry, and you would make a prayer investment in it and help us to see the darkness pushed back and the light shine forth. Praise God. If you listen by computer in another state or another country, we welcome you. And if you listen in Madison and surrounding areas, we're so glad that you've invited us into your home, your automobile, your place of business, wherever this broadcast is finding you today. If you are a fellow minister listening to this broadcast involved in the harvest, it doesn't matter about the scale and scope. You may have a small congregation as we do. You may be a pastor of a huge, huge congregation. Your influence is so vital and important. God is doing a work today to reach all those who will hear. It's the last day, and the good news about the last day, with so many negative connotations, is that the Bible said that whoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. There is a mercy stream flowing from God's throne to all who will call upon Jesus for salvation. So God is with us in this great reaping of the last day, and we won't really know until we all get to heaven what the worth of one soul really, really is. So pray for us, and we'll pray for you, and let's get this job done for Jesus, and pray that when He comes, we can give an answer for the lives we lived here, and we hear Him say, "Well done." I'm preaching for a well done today, just like I like my steaks. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, will you please turn with me to this controversial book, the Bible. Turn with me to Psalm 3, 1 through 8. We're talking about Jesus, the helper of the helpless today. I am Christian because someone helped me in my heart to believe. Someone helped me to receive. Someone is helping me now to follow Jesus Christ. I am not in this world alone trying to stand strong for Jesus. I am here because I am helped greatly. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of the great titles as we prepare to go to this scripture of the Holy Spirit is a comforter in the scriptures. And that simply means one who is called alongside to help. We used to sing the old gospel song years ago, "I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day." Hallelujah. Amen. There is somebody with me, and there's somebody with you. And if you're not a Christian, there's somebody who wants to help you today. If you will reach up to the hand that's reaching down to you right now, God will take you by the hand. And whatever you're facing, He will give you the strength you need. If you're lost, He'll save you. If you're depressed, He'll pull you out of the horrible pit. If you are heartbroken, He will hold your hand and help you through the heartache. God is a gracious God, and He loves mankind. I haven't figured out yet why He loves us like He does. But as the songwriter said, but I'm glad. So glad that He does. Hallelujah. Amen. David spoke in this psalm while he was fleeing from Absalom, his son, who wanted to kill him and take his kingdom. I believe David would have handled it so much better if it had been an enemy from another nation that had come to conquer Israel. Some assassin in his court that was hired to do him harm. But this was not someone like that. This was someone near and dear to his heart. So not only was there a threat to his physical being because his son hated him and wanted to kill him, there was a threat to his heart, his emotions being broken completely, becoming a broken man. For this son that he loved had now turned on him, even to the point of wanting to kill him and take his kingdom. Let's read it together. If you think you have big problems today, I want you to go to the scripture with me and find a man who had equally huge problems and how he resolved those problems in his life. Listen to Psalm 3. "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? How many are they that rise up against me? Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. As I said last week, one translation of verse 3 reads, Lord, you're the one who lifts my head. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says again, David, in great distress, with filial confidence, implores God's aid, and anticipating relief, offers praise. Hallelujah. David had an enemy without, but David was no stranger to facing overwhelming giants and armies. This was no Philistine giant nor mighty army. This was his own son, and the army that followed him was David's own countrymen. David now had a great threat: heartbreak, heartache, discouragement, and despondency. Listen closely, because this is so crucial to Christian victory today. In order to defeat the enemy without, he must first defeat the enemy within. I'm going to say this to you today, something you already know, that life is indeed, as the song said, like a mountain railroad. It's full of twists and turns, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. There may be events and circumstances that can break your heart. If you've been through a bitter divorce, psychologists tell us that it's easier to deal with the death of a loved one many times than it is a divorce. Because in death, no one is rejecting you. No one is deceiving you. No one is walking away from you and leaving you with that sense. Not only have you lost that person you love so much, but you have been rejected by them. And some of you that have been through those bitter experiences know what heartache and heartbreak is. And it's hard to deal with other issues in your life. If you're a single mother and you've got to raise those children, it's hard to face that while dealing with a broken heart. You see, to defeat an enemy without that threatens you, you've got to first defeat the enemy within. Many people, when their heart broken because of some circumstance, turn to alcohol. Others turn to drugs. There's a reason that people want to get numb to life and to get some synthetic peace within them that is not really real. Actually, they just exacerbate the problem. But to them, they're reaching out for something. I told you last week, Jesus didn't come into this world to point a condemning finger at us because of our sins, because he knows why we sin, and he knows what we're after, and he knows how to not only deliver us from sin's power, but to fulfill the deepest longing of our heart and to meet the deep inner needs of our being. Oh, what a wonderful Savior that Jesus Christ is. It is so good today to be able to tell you that there is hope in him. There are so many that would join me in personal testimony, letting you know what Jesus can do in your heart and your life. We serve a God that is a good God. We're talking about the God of the Old Testament that David had trust in. But this God was manifest perfectly through Jesus Christ, so we could really get a handle on who he is and what he is truly like. David knew him in the old covenant relationship. We can know him in a new covenant relationship and reality. Jesus actually said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Bible said of Christ, he's the express image of the Father. And I'm telling you, we have a wonderful heavenly Father today. We have a great and good God. In order to defeat the enemy without, we first got to defeat the enemy within. David looks to God as the lifter of his head. Or as one commentary reads, he lifts me from despondency. The Bible said that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Whatever's weakened us, hurt us, crippled us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, the spirit of a man, when we receive spiritual strength within, it will sustain whatever a crippling event or circumstance has touched our life. It will sustain us in that and bring us through that. despondency and dejection and hopelessness are things that have to be addressed within before we can address any problem without. Matthew Henry said Absalom formed a conspiracy against David to take away not only his crown, but his life. David knew now that he was in great grief. When in his flight he went up to the Mount of Olives, he wept greatly with his head covered, marching barefoot. He wept and prayed, but he wept and sang, and he wept and believed. There's a great truth unfolding here. While being emotionally shattered by a circumstance, one can still exercise faith in the heart. Hallelujah. You may feel that your faith has been shattered and you can't use your faith anymore because of the emotional hit that you've taken and how you feel. I'm telling you, if you decide, even through your tears, if you decide to pray, and if you decide even to sing His praise, and if you decide to believe that the Word of God is true and the God of the Bible is faithful, God will respond to you. Even though emotionally you may feel faithless, go ahead and sing His praise. Hallelujah. It's easy. It's so easy to sing the songs of Zion when everything is calm. It's so easy to sing the high praises of God when everything is going good. It's more difficult when things seem to be going terribly wrong, and there is an enemy that screams in your ear that God has somehow abandoned you and is unfaithful to you. But I challenge you today to give Him praise from your heart, because you know in your heart that God is real. And maybe you don't understand what you're going through. That's okay. We're asked to trust in the Lord and not to lean to our understanding. Somehow, by trusting Him in that way, faith is so pure and powerful when it's released unto God. I believe those of you that feel so weak today and so ill-equipped to face whatever you're facing in life and feel so faithless because of the feelings you have, the Bible said something to you. If you had faith, Christ taught, as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the midst of the sea." And it would obey you. It's an incredible thing, the power of that little faith that abides so wonderfully in the human heart. It's there if you have come in contact with the Word of God. It's there if you have met Jesus as your Savior. It's there so you can accept Christ as your Savior. For unto every man, the Bible said, is given the measure of faith. And even though it seems so small in relation to the giant that you may be facing today, that faith released in a great God. You see, it's not great faith in and of itself that does the work. It's this great God that we put our faith in. And I've got enough faith to cry out to Him in my time of trouble. And God says that faith is going to be honored, even if it's expressed through tears because of my emotion that I'm feeling at a given time. Scripture goes on to say that weeping may last for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so glad for a God that says it's all right to cry, as long as you cry and pray, and cry and sing, cry and believe. God honors even tears, and faith can be expressed even when our heart is broken. Some people have misrepresented faith in saying that your emotions get to some high state where they're never affected. I've heard the kind of cliche about faith that I don't have any problems, all I have is answers, and I almost want to chuckle and think, man, you don't live where I live. Hallelujah. I have the answer in Jesus Christ, but my problems are real. And sticking my head in the sand like an ostrich when he thinks he's hid doesn't take away my problem. Denying the existence of my giants do not make them go away. It's facing them, even running toward them in the name of the Lord that brings victory in my life. And it can bring victory in your life. You may feel like you can never rise up again. But I've got good news for you today. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of David, the God of Paul, and the God of Silas, and the God of John, and Matthew, and Mark, and Luke, and the God of this preacher, amen, this God exists, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me bring you this great truth again. While being emotionally shattered by a circumstance, one can still exercise faith in the heart. Remember the story of King Hezekiah? The prophet Isaiah came to him because he had a physical problem and told him to set his house in order. It was time for him to go home. He was going to die. And the Bible said that King Hezekiah turned his head and his face to the wall, and he prayed. Isaiah had went his way. He had delivered his message. He went his way. And he told the Lord, "I've been a righteous king, and I'd like to live a while longer. I don't feel that everything is accomplished that I would like to see in my life, and I want to live a while longer." And he began to weep, and tears began to go down his cheeks. Isaiah got another message from God, and he turned around and he ran back to where Hezekiah was praying with tears running down his cheeks. And you know what he told him? He said, "God has seen your tears, and God has heard your cry, and God is going to add 15 years to your life." Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. That a man who is weeping with a broken heart in the presence of God is standing in such faith that the prophet went back and said, "God saw those tears, and God heard your cry." We've kind of presented faith in a way that doesn't allow for tears. The scripture said even at the death of a friend or loved one or one of our brothers and sisters, it said that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. It didn't say that we don't sorrow. It just said we don't weep as others who are hopeless. We sorrow because there's going to be a temporary separation, but we know in our hearts with rejoicing that there's going to be a happy reunion on the other side. Hallelujah. So we sorrow like anyone else when we lose a mama, a daddy, a sister, a brother, sister in the Lord. Our hearts break. The tears flow. It's okay. Sometimes with shattered hearts, we go to God and we pray. And we're not trying to stand strong and deny our emotions. Love is a strong emotion. It hurts to see someone you love hurt. There's heartache and heartbreak in this world. We don't want to become emotionless people. But even when our emotions are shattered, God says, "You talk to me. You sing my praise through your tears." David said it at night, at midnight, "I'll still cry unto him. I'll still sing his praises." Hallelujah. David had enemies, and you have enemies, and I have enemies. And one of the greatest enemies is not the one without, but the one within, my own heart. That's why we're to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How can I keep my heart from becoming discouraged when I can't control the events that may touch my life? I don't know what tomorrow may bring to me. I know something could happen that could absolutely devastate my heart, break my heart. But I know if I look to the Lord, He is the healer of the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. "He is my glory," David said, "my shield. He's the one that stands up when I fall down, and he alone is the lifter of my head." Let's acknowledge that we do have enemies. Let's don't put our head in the sand about that. Verse 2 said, "Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in the Lord." One translation reads, "God will not rescue you." Does that sound familiar? When we feel dejected and when we're overwhelmed, Satan shouts, "God will not come to your aid. You are too weak. Your faith is too small. You're not worthy. It's hopeless." But David responds, and he proclaims the Lord in power. Verse 3 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." You know, the shield of faith is not just our faith keeping the enemy from harming us. It's our faith in God becoming our shield. I'm going to say that again. Hallelujah. Maybe in a different way. Faith in your faith, when your faith wavers, can bring failure in your life. Faith in God's faithfulness, even though your faith wavers, will never, ever cause you to be defeated. God is faithful, and He is faithful even when our faith is shaken. Praise God. He stands up in intercession when we are weakened by some attack of the enemy, something in life that has devastated us. The Lord won't let you go if you won't turn away from Him. And I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know how He's going to reach into your heart and your life and bring hope to you. But I know that He's reaching for that purpose. And because I know that He's reaching for that purpose, I can confidently declare and proclaim unto you today that God loves you with a great love, and that His desire is to help you no matter what circumstance you're facing. He wants to be your shield, number one. He wants to stand between you and the one who wants to destroy you and hurt you and harm you. Amen. And He wants to lift your head, to lift you up. David said of this experience in his life in another psalm in Scripture, that He lifteth me from the miry clay. That means He brings him out of a place that he cannot extract himself from. He says in another place that Thou, O Lord, has delivered me from the horrible pit, a place he can't get out of, a terrifying place, a place where hope seems to be absolutely diminishing by the minute, and a man can sink into hopelessness, a woman into hopelessness. Have you ever wondered why sometimes people that are bound with addiction would not care if they die? We care, and we hurt for them, and we tell them this is going to destroy you. And we wonder, why don't they take the rope that we're throwing to try to pull them out? Because they feel like there is no hope, there is no out. It's so deep and so dark where they're living. They'd soon be dead as live anyway, so why does it matter? Well, I'm telling you, there is hope in Jesus Christ, because David said, not only has He lifted me from the miry clay, He's put my feet upon a rock. He's placed me in a place where I won't slip back into that pit of depression and despair and hopelessness anymore. What a wonderful, powerful message of hope the gospel brings us today. Amen. I want to throw you a rope today, a rope that is sure and steadfast. I want to present to you a person today of Scripture whose name is Jesus, whose mission in this world is to heal the brokenhearted. As well as saving our eternal soul, He comes to heal the brokenhearted. He comes to make new that has been so devastated by all of the pitfalls that life can bring it. I'm so glad one of His royal titles is Prince of Peace. I'm glad that He was a healer, not only of the body, but He's a healer of the broken heart, healer of the mind. Only Jesus can do this. Only He can shield you today. You don't have to be strong and stand tall to get His help. Even through your tears, in spite of your fears, you can pray. You can cry out to Him. In fact, the psalm says, pour your heart out to Him. Hallelujah. Would you do that right now? Would you do that right now? Would you just pour your heart out to Him? Everything you feel, even your questions, but somehow let Him know, I'm looking to You in spite of all of this. And I'm trusting in You. I believe God will bring you out of the horrible pit today. If you're not a Christian, would you open your heart right now? Pour your heart out to Him. Say, Jesus, I need Your help. I need You to pull me out today. Save me. Satisfy my soul. Give me this great peace and power to live my life. I ask this all in the name of Jesus today. Well, our time is gone. I hate to leave. We just seem to be getting into the message. Why don't you tune in next week right here on WMAF and come back again and let's talk about Jesus.